BetOnline.net has released the opening lines for Power 5 college football programs, odds on winning their conference championship. Where does Tennessee stack up in that list? A surprise team ahead of Tennessee in the running in the SEC. We'll tell you about that. Plus 247 Sports post-spring top 25. Tennessee is in that rankings, but where? All that and more, plus Twitter Tuesday, coming up on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, how you doing? And welcome to Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. I'm Eric Kane, your host, at _Kaner on Twitter and at Locked On Vols. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and also write for the Rival site covering University of Tennessee. That is VolQuest.com. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. We got a busy show, all right? We've got conference lines to discuss from Bet Online. We've got post-spring top 25 rankings from 24/7 Sports. And then we got to get into your Twitter Tuesday questions, all that on the docket here on Locked On Vols. Let's go ahead and get into it, all right? So Bet Online released these just a couple days ago. These are the opening college football Power 5 conference lines. You go through all the different Power 5 conferences, the ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, and, of course, the SEC. And you've got all these teams and their odds on making the or on winning the conference, right? And so you look at the SEC. Obviously, Alabama's off the top. They've got their, you know, 1-1 odd in terms of winning the conference championship. Georgia's in second at 5-4. Texas A&M is third at 11-1. Florida is fourth, tied with Ole Miss at 33-1 odds. Kentucky and Tennessee then come in next at 40-1 odds. You go on, LSU's next up at 50-1 odds. Arkansas and Auburn are tied at 66-1 odds. South Carolina is at 100-1 odds. Mississippi State is at 200-1 odds. Missouri is at 400-1 odds. And Vanderbilt is at 500-1 odds. Again, we're talking about upsets this past weekend. The Kentucky Derby, the winning horse was an 80-1, odds favorite to win the Kentucky Derby. That was considered one of the biggest upsets in history. You talk about a Vanderbilt of Missouri wins the SEC, which is not going to happen, okay? It's at 500 and 400-1 odds. And, of course, these are all from betonline.net. So Tennessee technically comes in 1, 2, 3, 4, tied for 5th. Or any way you spin it, because a couple of teams are tied there for 4th and 5th. It could be 7th overall. So top half of the the back half of the first half of the SEC is how we're going to spin it. Tennessee, according to BetOnline, 40-1 odds to win the SEC. I don't think anybody's expecting Tennessee to win the SEC this year. Year number 2 with Josh Heupel. You should have a very good offense coming back. 4 or 5 starters on the offensive line. You've got a running back that you like, and you have options back there. Past Jabari Small, including Justin Williams-Thomas coming in as a true freshman. Potentially you could add via the transfer portal. Wide receivers, you bring back one of the most one of the best returning receivers in the SEC, and Cedric Tillman, of course. You pair him with Brew McCoy on the other side now via the transfer portal. Jalen Hyatt in the slot, a couple different options there. Maybe potentially also adding a guy like maybe Jalen Robinson via the transfer portal from UCF, who was on campus for a visit this past weekend. There's some options there, but you know, Tennessee should have a good offense. There's a lot of question marks on defense, obviously. The secondary, who's going to fill in those three big-time spots on the defensive line that you're losing from Matthew Butler, Caleb Tremblay, Jaquan Blakely. Can you get better linebacker play? All that to say, I mean, you should be solid. Tennessee, I would expect to improve on their win-loss total of 7-5 in the regular season this past year. But I don't think anybody's expecting Tennessee to win the SEC championship. Per these odds, Tennessee is pitted as the third-best team in the East, or really tied for the third-best team in the East. Georgia's at 5-4 odds. Then you have Florida at 33-1 odds. Then you have Kentucky tied with Tennessee at 40-1 odds. I understand Georgia being up there. I understand Tennessee and Kentucky being tied in terms of the odds at 40-1, because we talked about how Tennessee and Kentucky are very similar right now in terms of how they're built, in terms of where they are under each respective head coach. It's a little bit different because, of course, this is year number 2 with Josh Heupel, and what Mark Stoops has built at Kentucky has been very sustainable. It's been very his brand of football year, and now I guess this is year number 9 for him. He's the second longest tenured coach in the SEC behind Nick Saban, in case you didn't know, the more you know here today on a Tuesday. But in terms of talent-wise, in terms of competing on the field in 2022, I do believe Tennessee and Kentucky are going to be very, very similar. So that didn't surprise me. What surprises me is Florida there. Florida is above Tennessee and Kentucky in terms of teams from the East with a greater chance of making or a greater chance of winning the Southeastern Conference at 33-1. Again, I think Florida is going to be fine. I think Billy Napier is going to be a fine coach, but I think it's going to be tough sledding here in year number one, 2022, however you want to say it. There's actually one correct way to say it, and then that the way I said it there. Anthony Richardson, who I think is super, super talented. You know, how's he adapting this new offense? I do believe that it's kind of tailored more towards him and his strengths and his ability to impact the game. But I do believe they're going to have a down year. Now, down year for Florida, 7-5, you know, 6-6, kind of like where they were this past year. I don't think it'll be like that for long, but I do believe Florida's going to have some tough sledding, having to replace some guys as well. Who entered the transfer portal, who left via graduation and all that and more. So I don't quite get why Florida is ahead of Tennessee, and really Kentucky for that matter, in terms of these odds from BetOnline. That'd be my one biggest question mark. As we'll discuss in segment number two when we're discussing the 24/7 Sports post-spring top 25 poll, Ole Miss is up there as well. Ole Miss 33-1 tied for Florida. They're 1-2, coming in third in the West as well. Ole Miss is having to replace both coordinators, an All-American quarterback, and tons of talent on that roster. Now, you did add a lot via the transfer portal. Lane Kiffin will go back to calling offensive plays, to my knowledge. I think Ole Miss will be fine, but, you know, 33-1 odds, should they really be ahead of Arkansas in the West? Should they really be ahead of maybe an LSU in the West? I don't know. That's up for debate, of course, but Ole Miss would be a little bit higher in my calculations, and I would have them as well. So again, Alabama 1-1, Georgia 5-4, Texas A&M 11-1, Florida is 33-1, tied with Ole Miss 33-1. Kentucky and Tennessee come in next 40-1. LSU's at 50-1. Arkansas's at 60-1. Actually 66-1. Excuse me. You had Auburn at 66-1 as well. South Carolina 100-1. Mississippi State 200-1. Missouri 400-1 and Vanderbilt 500-1 as well. You look at the rest of the country, the Pac-12. You've got USC 2-1 favorites to win the Pac-12, followed by Oregon at 11-5, Utah at 5-1, and then you get into Arizona State tied with UCLA at 17-2, so on and so forth. Look at the Big 12 conference: Oklahoma 7-4 odds to win that conference, Texas 2-1, Oklahoma State 5-1, and then Baylor's 15-1. You got Big Ten Conference, Ohio State 1-2, Wisconsin 10-1, Michigan 11-1 odds, Penn State 12-1, Nebraska 14-1. And then you look at the ACC, Clemson 2-3 odds. You got Miami 5-1, Pittsburgh 9-1, of course, losing Kenny Pickett. And then NC State 10-1, North Carolina 11-1. And then there's a big gap there until you get to Wake Forest at 20-1 odds. So, interesting there. Tennessee, per betonline.net, tied for the third best chance in the SEC East to win the SEC this year in the year of 2022. Those are the opening college football Power 5 conference lines at 60-1 for the Volunteers and Kentucky, who are tied there in third. Kind of on this note, that's from betonline.net, who we support here on Locked On Vols. We're going to go into a post-spring practice top 25 poll. There's been some differences. We talked about the way too early's way back in the winter. We talked about some, you know, where Tennessee was viewed by ESPN, The Athletic, CBS, 24/7 Sports, Rivals, On3, all that and more. Here's one from 247 Sports, post-spring top 25. The Volunteers are in it. How high are the Volunteers? We'll discuss when we return here on Locked On Vols here in just a moment. Post-spring practice top 25 college football poll. This is from 247 Sports. It's in conjunction with CBS Sports, who owns 247 Sports. And they released it earlier this week. The Volunteers have cracked the top 25. Where? I'll tell you here in just 1 second. Welcome you back in here to Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. And I'm your host, Eric Kane. Thanks so much for hanging out with me here today. And a lot of good stuff on today's show as we went over the betonline.net opening Power 5 conference lines of winning the conference, where it showed you where Tennessee was. And now I'm going to tell you where Tennessee ranks in this post-spring poll. According to 24/7 Sports, in the post-spring top 25 poll, Tennessee comes in at number 15. Alabama, these are the SEC schools. Alabama's at 1. Georgia comes in at 3. Texas A&M comes in at 7. Arkansas at 10. Ole Miss at 13. Tennessee at 15. And that's the last SEC school. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 teams from the SEC are ranked in this poll. Kentucky, surprisingly, did not crack this poll, nor did Florida, who is getting a lot of praise in a lot of these other preseason polls as well during this offseason. Found it interesting. We went over the numbers again in the prior segment with Bet Online. You had Ole Miss at 33-1 odds to win the conference this upcoming year. They come in at ranked 13th in this poll. Florida had 33-1 odds as well, ahead of Tennessee. They are not ranked in this poll. Arkansas had less odds to win the conference, behind Tennessee. I forgot exactly where they were, but they come in ahead of Tennessee, up 5 spots in this poll, according to 24/7 Sports. So I found it kind of interesting there as well. So here's what CBS Sports, along with 24/7 Sports, had to say about Tennessee coming in at number 15. This is for the writer from CBS Sports. Josh Heupel had a nice debut season in the SEC, but this will be year 2 with the dark specter of the NCAA investigation hanging over the program. I really don't know what that has to do with anything with the play on the field whatsoever. In fact, that has absolutely nothing to do with play on the field. That has not affected recruiting so far. There's been no sanctions handed out by the NCAA for this Tennessee program. Tennessee's not self-imposed itself whatsoever because it's already, gone on and fired its head coach and Jeremy Pruitt. And again, the NCAA is the biggest joke of an organization there is right now. So, and they came out, by the way, they came out the NCAA late yesterday, really about the time I started recording this podcast, and we'll discuss on tomorrow's show. D1 Board of Directors issues name, image, and likeness guidance to schools. Like I said on Monday's show, don't expect any sweeping declarations here. We'll get into more of that tomorrow. But CBS Sports says on Tennessee, Josh Heupel had a nice debut season in the SEC, but this will be year number 2 with the dark specter of an NCAA investigation hanging over the program. That means literally nothing. I'm going to completely bypass that comment from CBS Sports because I think that's stupid. 24/7 Sports' take. Here it is. Hendon Hooker is back as Tennessee's conductor offensively under Josh Heupel for a team that should challenge for an upper-tier finish in the SEC East. I agree with that. Building on the Volunteer success in year 1 under its new regime is the mindset this fall for a team AP voters may inflate just a little bit. Tennessee is the highest-ranked team in its side of the SEC behind Georgia and our post-spring rankings from the poll from CBS. Well, we kind of thought this is where Tennessee would be. If it wasn't Tennessee, it'd be Kentucky. Kentucky didn't even make this poll. It wasn't going to be Florida. It wasn't going to be South Carolina. Sure as hell wasn't going to be Missouri or Vanderbilt. So, of course, it was going to be Tennessee in terms of that number 2 position. Something John Garcia spoke on this podcast about a couple of weeks ago. I mean, that, second place. It's up for the taking in the SEC East right now behind Georgia. And I think Tennessee can grab that here in 2022. So I agree with 24/7 Sports' take right there, kind of on Tennessee. I do not agree with whatever, CBS Sports said. I thought that was kind of silly. But again, you go to the top of the list here. You got Alabama from the SEC, obviously, returning, Bryce Young, Heisman Trophy winner, returning tons and tons of talent. Will Anderson on the defensive front as well. And number 2, it's Ohio State. C.J. Stroud, who's going to be a Heisman favorite potentially. Number 3, Georgia, returning national champions, reigning national champions coming in at number 3. And number 4, you got the Oklahoma Sooners. Brent Venables, year number 1. Tons of players darted for that transfer portal, including Caleb Williams. But, what can you get out of a new quarterback? Is it going to be, as easy as you think in replacing Caleb Williams with Dylan Gabriel? We'll have to see. He was off to a good job or good start in spring as well. Number 5, you got the Baylor Bears. Number 6, you have the Michigan Wolverines. I just really feel like it was a one-year off for Michigan, right? I mean, everything aligned. You got into the college football playoff. You stomped Ohio State. You finally beat your rival. And then I feel like Michigan's going to just kind of slide back to where Michigan's been, which has been a very well-respected program under Jim Harbaugh. I know he's the butt of all jokes, but it's been a really, really good program. But it's also been an overhyped program that ESPN just has this love fest. I mean, I'll tell you what, ESPN loves. ESPN loves the stories no one cares about on College Game Day. ESPN loves it some NBA. ESPN loves it some Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, okay? And ESPN loves it some LeBron. Gosh, all those 4 things can go and kick rocks for all concerned. It's truly, truly annoying. But we'll have to see what Michigan truly is this year. I think they're going to slide back a little bit. Number 7 is Texas A&M, and of course that's the third highest ranked team from the SEC. Number 8 is Notre Dame with new head coach Marcus Freeman, formerly the defensive coordinator. The Utah Utes at number 9. Number 10 is Arkansas. This is very surprising to me. So I get Alabama, I get Georgia, I get Texas A&M, I get Ole Miss being ranked inside the top 25. They're a couple of spots back. I'll get to them in a moment. And I get Tennessee. I don't know why Arkansas is being considered a top 10 team per CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports in this article. This is CBS Sports' take. In year three under the folksy Sam Pittman, the Razorbacks have turned the corner as a knock-your-head-off SEC program. KJ Jefferson might be the second-best SEC quarterback to Young. That is up for debate, and we've talked about it. We'll do it again as the summer progresses. Quarterback rankings in the SEC, he's in the conversation. He wouldn't be my pick, but he certainly is in the conversation. 24/7 Sports' take. Keep an eye on the Razorbacks' first two games of the season following an impressive season under Sam Pittman. If Arkansas starts hot with wins over nationally ranked Cincinnati and upstart South Carolina under Spencer Rattler, there's a good chance this team can be ranked inside the top 10. CBS Sports ranking the Razorbacks at number 10 in the post-spring poll is the highest we've seen in this preseason. Well, no duh. Remember last year when Arkansas, and they deserve to be ranked inside the top 10, but they were undefeated at like 5-0 or 6-0. They climbed as high as number 8, and then they just had a brutal month-long schedule, and they just got pummeled by Alabama, by Georgia. I can't remember who else they played. Maybe it was Ole Miss. No, they beat Ole Miss in the shootout. That's right. Nonetheless, they fell on some tough times, but it was still a pretty good season for Sam Pittman. But again, they climbed this hall as high as number 8, and we're all sitting there on the show right here on Locked On Vols and on starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal, and we're just saying this isn't right. They should not be ranked this high, but I digress. Number 11, Clemson Tigers. Number 12, the Miami Hurricanes. Number 13, the Ole Miss Rebels. Tons of talent. Jackson Dart's coming in there to play quarterback. You brought in a lot of guys via the transfer portal to help out on defense. You brought Zach Evans to help out at tailback. You bring in two new coordinators, but the system's in place. Lane Kiffin's still there. I think he's a good play caller when he's calling plays. I still think this is a little overhyped for Ole Miss. I don't believe Ole Miss will be a top 15 team, but I think Ole Miss will be a good team, just not nearly as good as what they were last year. They come in at number 13. USC comes in at 14. They are drinking that Kool-Aid, baby. They are drinking that Kool-Aid. 15, of course, is Tennessee. And then that's the last SEC team. There's no Kentucky, which I think should be in this ranking. And Florida was getting a ton of love from everybody, but Florida was not in this ranking as well. 16 is Michigan State. 17 is Texas. 18 is Oregon. Wisconsin is 19. You've got Oklahoma State at 20. Wake Forest at 21, BYU at 22, you've got Houston at 23, Penn State at 24, and Cincinnati at 25. So what do you think? 15, too high, too low, or just about right? The second team from the SEC East behind Georgia, who ranked third in this poll. Tennessee ranks 15th, and that's it. Other SEC schools, again, Alabama at 1, Georgia at 3, A&M at 7, Arkansas at 10, Ole Miss at 13, and Tennessee at 14. No mention of Kentucky, no mention of Florida. I think that is about right. Now, and I also do agree with what 24/7 Sports said. AP voters may inflate the volunteers just a little bit much, and that's the thing about it, and this will be my last thing on this subject. I could never vote. I've never been asked to vote for it, so I'm not trying to act like I have or I've voted before. I've voted for all SEC teams before, but in terms of the AP poll, I'm not an AP voter. If I was ever asked to be an AP voter, I know many people in this market that are AP voters that should not be AP voters because you don't watch football. But there's about 1,000 AP voters out there. If they ever came to me and asked me to vote on the AP poll every single week, I would politely decline because I don't watch enough football outside of Tennessee. Not that I don't love football, not that I'm not watching any chance I get. I mean, as soon as I get home from covering a Tennessee game on Saturdays, I turn on the TV and I catch whatever CBS has on its docket, whatever SEC game is on the docket for later that night. But so much of my life and my job is consumed by Tennessee football that I am always, you know, getting ready for the game, at the stadium, covering the game, staying 2 to 3 hours after the game is over. It involves so much of my time to watch Tennessee football. I don't get to watch a whole lot of football elsewhere. And so I think, as much as I'd like to, at least, I still do. But I think that's where what this article means by AP voters might inflate them. A lot of AP voters are not watching Tennessee unless it's on national television. A lot of these AP voters just see and hear the stats and see it on paper, and they don't know the deficiencies that this team has, specifically on the defensive side of the football. That's just me playing devil advocate here. So I think that's about right. We'll have to see what happens. If Tennessee wants to finish ranked inside the top 15 this year, it has to play better defense, and it has to continue on the path it is offensively and find a way to win a couple more games. And I think all of that is possible, but we will have to see. All right. That was the post-spring top 25 preseason poll from 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. Your Tennessee Volunteers ranked at number 15. Earlier, we did the BetOnline.net conference, Power 5 conference lines, where Tennessee was where was Tennessee? Did I say 60-1 odds? Nonetheless, they were tied there for about middle of the road. And BetOnline.net, they've got all that and more. I just read you off all those conference lines for the Power Fives that we did in segment number one. They've got all that and more at BetOnline.net for every single sport. You got the NBA, you got the playoffs going on, Major League Baseball, you got the hockey playoffs going on right now. Tons and tons of action that you can get in on and put some coin in your pocket at BetOnline.net. You can find the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, even next season's NFL future bets as well. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head on over to the website today or use that mobile device in the palm of your hand. Learn about all the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts. Welcome back in here to your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols, and I have buried the lead here, and I do apologize. Time to answer your Twitter Tuesday questions. We're going to blow through these. Had a number, probably about 8 or 9 submissions this week, so thank you so much. Again, every single Tuesday, you take over the show. You let me know what you want to know on Tennessee football, on Tennessee recruiting, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be. Your time to shine is on Tuesday each and every week. We will start off with Raw_Vols. Are there any summer enrollees that have shown up on campus yet? Do they come all at once or at different times? Appreciate it. I appreciate you, man. Here's how that works. So Tennessee, because it has a winter mini term there between first semester and second semester, Tennessee's spring semester didn't start until January 24th, which is much later than pretty much every other school in the country. That means that Tennessee will not start its summer school until after the calendar flips to June. I don't have that date on me. Shoot, I should have looked that up. I apologize. But I think it's like somewhere around June 5th, June 6th, June 7th, somewhere around there. So nobody for summer school, none of the transfers, early enrollees, that type of stuff that aren't here on campus yet, have come to campus yet. They will be here kind of that first week of June, more so than anything. So I do appreciate that. We'll move on to Hole in the Roof. Portal questions. Is there a Vol who entered the portal that you're surprised hasn't found a new school yet? And is there any Vol who has entered the portal but hasn't found a new school that the staff would welcome back if they asked back on the team? You know, I'm not too sure yet about that last one. Since my time in covering Tennessee, only two players have entered the portal to my knowledge and have come, only one player has entered the portal to my knowledge and come back, and that was Kurot Garland all the way back, and I want to say 2019, so it's been a long time. But, you know, this is from, you know, technically the entire 2022 year, okay? Some of these were in season, some of these weren't. Carlin Filsamee, who has not played for Tennessee since like 2019, he has not found a destination. Harrison Bailey is at UNLV. These are scholarship players. Morvin Joseph is at FAU. Tyon Evans at Louisville. Gerald Mincy's come into Tennessee. Navy Shuler's come into Tennessee. Now some of these are not scholarship players. Jackson Hanna's come into Tennessee. Browder's come into Tennessee. D. Beckwith has not found a destination yet. That might be a surprising one. Will Albright has not found a destination yet. Anderson Kobe is at Indiana. I think that's a good spot for him. K'Ron Calpert is at EKU, linking up with his former offensive line coach. That's no shocker. Brew McCoy, of course, is here at Tennessee. Trinity Bell is at, he's at Iowa Western Community College, so he went the JUCO route. Kamen Marley does not have a destination yet. Christoph Perogene does not have a destination yet. Wesley Walker's into Tennessee. Tyus Phil does not have a destination yet. James Robinson, no destination yet. Andre Turrentine's at Tennessee. Julian Nixon, no destination yet. And Aaron Willis, no destination yet. So of all those players that left Tennessee that has not found a destination yet, I would say our new home yet, I would say probably D. Beckwith, to my knowledge, and according to the records I'm looking at right now, has not committed or signed on with a new school. So that would kind of be my answer there. We'll move on to Nightlights. If other schools are modeling their NIL programs after Spire Group, why isn't Tennessee atop the recruiting world? Is it only money? Well, I mean, keep in mind, too, there's only enough money to go around, right? And, I mean, you can't offer these big-time deals to all these kids who want to come in. Just simply put, that's just not how it works. But, you know, Spire does have a really nice facilitating where fans can contribute and all that type of stuff. And they're very, very smart in how they market and, you know, donating it to, you know, charities and all that type of stuff. So they're doing a fantastic job. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Tennessee right now for the class of 2023, I mean, Tennessee is, you know, top five in the country, depending on where you look. And, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, fit, system. Can you get me to the league? Can you go and win a national championship right now? NIL is now a factor. There's still other variables that come into play. So, no, I wouldn't say it's all about name, image, and likeness. I think it is for certain players, but it's not all about name, image, and likeness value for everybody. But Tennessee's up there. So, you know, to be in top five, I would say, I mean, you're contending up there with the likes of Georgia, of A&M, of Ohio State, you know, of Alabama's. You're up there recruiting with the best of them right now. So it's not always about name, image, and likeness. It's certainly a big factor nowadays for sure. But also it's about other things in terms of development, getting to the league when you can start making some absolute real money. We'll move on to Ross. Ross wants to know, with the NCAA being ass clowns and threatening to retroactively punish schools for violating non-existing NIL rules, how do you see this with regard to rumors of the Power Five breaking away from the NCAA? You know, this is an ongoing discussion. We've talked about the SEC and maybe Power Five's breaking off from the NCAA as a whole. We talked about this, I mean, for a long time now, right? I mean, this is not the first time this has been brought up. I thought the threat in the SI report from Ross Dellinger per a Power Five administrator saying, you better regulate this, talking to the Supreme Court, or else what? You're not going to leave anytime soon. I don't think the Power Five is breaking off anytime soon. I'm not saying it won't ever happen, trust me. But I don't think this will happen anytime soon because, again, there's so much money being made by the SEC, by the Big Ten, by the ACC, by the Big 12. I mean, you're making, by the Pac-12, you're making so much money. Not to say you couldn't make more if you broke away, but right now you're in a really good spot. So I'm not saying it won't happen. It probably will happen one day, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. K-Wayne1800. Are you worried that Tennessee baseball peaked too early? And also, what steps could we take to cut down on the team stealing bases against us? I think your latter point. I think guys are going to steal bases on Tennessee. It just kind of is what it is. Honestly, Evan Russell is not an all Evan Russell is not an all MLB catcher. He is not an all-star catcher. I think he's doing a fine job, all things considered. Also, I think the pitchers are not helping him or the Charlie Taylor out behind the plates. They are very slow to the plate. They're not doing a good job of managing the run game. So it's not just the catcher. It's also the pitchers, too. I think for the most part, that's the biggest reason. But, I mean, you know, it's tough to be – there's not a whole lot of teams that are throwing out a whole lot of base runners. I'll just put it like that. I don't think that there's a way Tennessee can improve at this point in the season and cutting down on that. If I were other teams, I'd run on Tennessee all day, to be completely frank with you. Tennessee's pitchers have to do a better job of that. Are you worried that Tennessee's peaking too early? Absolutely. I was actually talking to there's no reason I don't think Tennessee will win the World Series because, again, I still think Tennessee's by and large the best baseball team in the country. They got the best rotation. They got the best bullpen. They got the best lineup. In my opinion, there are good teams out there. There are teams comparable to Tennessee, but I still think Tennessee's the best team in the country, even after this ugly weekend in Kentucky. But I was talking to one of my coworkers today. I mean, how many times have you seen wire-to-wire domination? You see it in college football sometimes, sure, but that's only a 13 game or 15, 14, 15 games when it's all said and done. Domination from wire to wire in Major League Baseball, in the NFL. Hell, the Patriots couldn't do it back in 07, right? It's just like the way things work, you kick butt all season long, and then when it comes down to winning the postseason, you get knocked out. Hopefully that's not the case. I'm not saying that'll be the case, but that's certainly a worry. But, I mean, again, Tennessee's healthy right now for the most part. Tennessee's being smart with its pitchers, and I think that's the most important thing. So, peaking too early, sure, it's always a concern, but I think that has nothing to do with Tennessee and more so about how things work out in the sports world more than anything, in my opinion. We'll move on to Alex. with Power 5 conferences doing more and more of their own in terms of rules and regulations. Examples going to Congress for NIL, setting up specific conference COVID rules. It's looking more and more like the Power 5, or at the very least, the SEC will break away from the NCAA. If this happens, how will it control out-of-conference scheduling? Could SEC teams still schedule Group of Five schools, have a contract agreement with the NCAA? Oh, that is projecting a long time into the future, and quite frankly, I have no clue. I would assume that if Power 5 breaks away, Power 5 will play just Power 5. If the SEC, you can still play in the SEC and still have quote-unquote non-conference games. But again, that is so far down the line, I don't even know how to answer that question. I don't know if that's even been thought of right now. My gut feeling would be if you break away from the NCAA, you're not playing in any NCAA member institution. But again, I don't know that for sure. That's just kind of my thoughts and hypothesis on that. Because again, too, if you break away from the NCAA, you can treat it truly like an NFL schedule, especially when Texas and Oklahoma come to the SEC. And what if you go to a pod system? What if two more added and you go to a pod system? You can truly treat it like an NFL schedule, play 15, 16 weeks. Of course, there's, you know, things in there. I probably can't do that because, again, these are still amateurs, but you play division games, you play across division, then you have a playoff system, then you go. We'll have to see how that works out. We're not anywhere close to that right now, but I would assume you wouldn't play any NCAA member institution if you were to break away. But of course, there could be some cases right there that are extreme. And then finally, we'll go to Alex. Which story is bigger right now, Tennessee baseball or football recruiting? Heard you guys discuss it on TSL last week when you were out. Wanted your thoughts. Both are niche things to follow. Tennessee baseball is growing because Tennessee baseball is good. Tennessee recruiting is certainly a niche thing. It's a great conversation to have, but I will just put it this way. Ratings don't lie. Anytime I talk baseball on the radio, in this podcast, anytime I leave with that, it's getting good support because, again, this team deserves it, and this team, people care about winners, right? But Tennessee football pays the bills. Even Tennessee recruiting, there is such a strong following for Tennessee recruiting. So if Tennessee were to sign a big-time recruit, say, on a Sunday, and Tennessee baseball were to have won a big series on a Sunday, the A and any sports talk radio show, TV, radio, podcast would be that recruiting story, and then baseball, in my opinion, to answer your question. And that's no slap in the face to baseball because they've been fantastic so far this year. All that, we are done. What a show. Tuesday, we talked betonline.net, opening college football Power 5 conference lines. We talked 24/7 sports post-spring top 25 poll, and we answered several of your Twitter Tuesday questions here on Locked On Vols. Thanks so much, guys. It was a blast. Anytime you want to chat with me, you have any more additional questions, you want to put one in the hopper for next Tuesday, @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. Thank you so much for everything you guys do for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Check out Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy. Make that your second listen behind Locked On Vols, which is your first listen each and every day. Until tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.